and at audio.org.nz.
Mercy Spirituality Centre presents Muffin Talk with Beate. Kia ora and welcome to our Muffin Talk. Muffin Talk is brought to you by the Mercy Spirituality Centre in Epsom. We are a retreat centre. We give spiritual guidance, Christian meditation and personal development. Once a week, I invite a visitor to me and we are talking about the centre, our programs, social justice, for example. Today, my visitor is Alexander Shire. Welcome, Alexander.
I'm delighted to be here. Kia ora.
Alexander Shire is a spiritual director, psychologist and anthropologist. He is the author of three books, including Heart and Mind, The Four Gospel Journey for Radical Transformation. His home is the old village of Santa Fe, New Mexico in the United States, but he currently lives in Auckland for an extended time of writing. Is that all correct?
It is correct. Very good. You would know how to pronounce Santa Fe. I'm impressed.
Alexander will facilitate a workshop and a retreat in our Mercy Spirituality Center. And the title of the workshop is Empowering the Christ Within Us on Friday, 13th of June from 7 to 9 p.m. And then he will offer a retreat in August that's called Walking the Four-Path Christ Journey on Friday and Saturday, 8th and 9th of August. The retreat will start in the evening and continue on Saturday from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. For both events, if you're interested, please ring us and book. You can ring at 09 for Auckland, 638-6238. Alexander, you were born into a Lebanese family, and Lebanon, which borders Israel, is one of the cradles of Christianity. Jesus performed many miracles in Lebanon, and in Psalm 92:12, it says, "The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon." Lebanon is closely connected to the Bible, and today Lebanon is the country in the Middle East with the highest percentage of Christians. In what way did your Lebanese background influence your work?
Totally. I'm a first generation born in the United States. My grandparents and parents immigrated from Lebanon 100 years ago, and I came along a little bit later in my parents' life. But we come from an ancient Christian tradition, a Roman Catholic tradition called the Maronite Rite, which goes back in Lebanon to the 3rd century. But even before that, we know that St. Paul founded Christian communities in Lebanon. So it is right there from the earliest days, as well as Jesus visiting Tyre in those southern parts of Lebanon and performing miracles that we have recounted in the Gospels.
Mm-hmm. And the titles of both events at the Mercy Spirituality Center are connected to your book, Heart and Mind, Four Gospel Journey for Radical Transformation. Can you tell me more about this book, and why did you name it Four Gospel Journey and not New Testament Journey?
The whole message is right there in that title, Four Gospel Journey. And what I'm bringing back to our awareness, because this is really something that I have found was there in the early centuries of Christianity, but we haven't thought of the Gospels in this way since about 700. This is not four different stories of Jesus. This is one continuous journey with the living Jesus today. And each gospel responds to a question of a Christian community in the first century. And we know those four questions, and they are, how do we face change? And that's the gospel that we call Matthew. And how do we move through suffering? And that's the gospel we call Mark. And how do we receive joy and know union? And that's the gospel we call John. And how do we mature in service and through service? And that's the gospel we call Luke and the Acts of the Apostles. And this understanding that our life with God is constantly moving through these four questions, or we might call them four seasons, mm-hmm. four, perhaps even four paths,
mm-hmm.
that the early Christians assumed this understanding of the journey with God from our mother tradition, Judaism.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the missing thread in our scholarship today that the early Christians were looking for the journey with God, which led them to these four texts.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, in a more theoretical way, I'm giving another reason how we can know that these are the right gospels and that there aren't better gospels out there. But what's most important to my work is it's very practical. It's written for every one of us
mm-hmm.
because it helps us open the texts and see them not as the history of a people back then,
mm-hmm.
but as stories and practices for us right now.
So you say four questions, and the Gospels were not all written at the same time. So the questions must have arisen at a different time also.
Yes, each of these communities in the second half of the first century, the Gospel was revealed to them at a moment when their spiritual and their community life was in a, we could say, a dilemma or perhaps even a crisis.
Mm-hmm.
And the text came to them as the story of the living Jesus in the midst of their wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And it gave them the stories and the practices to how to move forward. And because the stories and the practices are eternal,
mm-hmm.
These texts open as our guide today.
That's interesting. So that's the journey, and then we come to the radical transformation. What do you mean with radical transformation? Is it a transformation that starts with the roots of what is going to be transformed?
Yes, and I mean, radical means root.
Yes.
But what I was so concerned about with this book is I didn't want it to read like a self-help book.
Mm-hmm.
This is not your latest pop psychology. This is about the deep, ongoing transformation of our life. The early Christians talked about the fact that we are already made in the image of Christ,
mm-hmm.
and that our life as Christians is the gradual transformation deeper into the image of the one in whom we're already made. And so this journey is about the steps and the stages or the seasons or the paths that we are constantly going through as we are made deeper into the image that we are already created in.
Mm. And for whom did you write the book? You said it's not a self-help book. So who did you write the book for? For Christian theologians or for laypersons or for people who want to know more about Christianity in general?
Yes.
So for all of them.
Clearly, the number one reason that I wrote this book is for us, for those people who want to pick up the text and see something vital and fresh and new. And I mean, I hate to use the word exciting, but that's the word I hear is, I mean, I'm on a worldwide tour, if you can use that word, of bringing this message everywhere. I'm like casting out new seeds. And what I keep hearing from the folks after a presentation is, it makes sense. And suddenly, these gospels aren't about people 2,000 years ago or about faith 2,000 years ago. It comes down to how I get up and sit at the breakfast table and read the newspaper in the morning, or face an economic downturn, or the issues of climate and ecology and justice today.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm most excited about. In fact, if you notice what Pope Francis is doing, Pope Francis never speaks about Jesus in historical terms. He always speaks about the living presence of Jesus right now. And that's exactly what this book is doing. It's taking what we have tended in the last period through our scholarship. We've tended to look at this book as history and archaeology and back then, and I'm bringing back then to right now, to right here, to your life, to your heart. And it's got the most incredible wisdom for us.
That's great. For those who've just tuned in, you're listening to Muffin Talk with Beate. The program is brought to you by the Mercer Spirituality Center. And if you miss any of our programs, please check out www.planetaudio.org.nz/muffintalk or send me an email at muffintalk840@gmail.com. My visitor today is Alexander Shaya. Today, we are in the week of Christian Unity. And Alexander is going to facilitate an upcoming workshop on empowering the Christ within us, which will be held in the Mercer Spirituality Center on Friday, 13th of June in the evening from 7 to 9 p.m. And a retreat on 8th and 9th of August with the title Walking the Four Path Christ Journey. We have heard about the book that Alexander wrote, Heart and Mind, the Four Gospel Journey for Radical Transformation, and how this book can be considered as a background of Alexander's events in our Mercy Spirituality Center. And something that's really stuck out for me was now when he explained about the title, the Four Path Journey, that Jesus is alive, and we should not read the Bible as a history book, but as a living book. And he helps us with his book to see some different aspects in the Bible that we might not have seen if we had only looked at the Bible as a history book.
Right.
So, Alexander, you mentioned earlier that your family was from Lebanon, and Lebanon, as all Middle Eastern countries, are known for oral traditions. What fascinates you most when you're reading the Gospels?
Well, because I grew up as a Semitic Christian Arab, and I like to remind us that the word Semite means the settled or the village people of the Middle East. And so Semitic is Israel, Palestine, Jordan, and Lebanon. And my culture is the same culture as the culture of Jesus in the first century.
Mm-hmm.
So when I read these stories, when I heard these stories chanted mm-hmm. in my childhood, they were like my aunts and my uncles, mm-hmm. My sittos and my jiddos, my grandparents, my parents, my brothers, my sisters. I knew these personalities. And I think that if I have any advantage or help in understanding these stories today, it is I lived with these personalities in my family.
Yes. Did you have the chant in Arabic or in English?
My grandmother chanted in Arabic, in a mixture of Arabic and Aramaic.
Okay.
And because of our tradition, our Catholic tradition, our Sunday worship service was always in Aramaic.
Mm-hmm.
And even though Aramaic is not a continuing language in the home,
mm-hmm.
We had to learn Aramaic as part of our worship service on Sundays in the way that the Latin Rite had to learn Latin mm-hmm. to participate in the Mass.
It certainly helped you living the stories.
Absolutely.
If you spoke the same language as the people who you were talking about.
Absolutely. And the other piece that's so important from our mother tradition, Judaism, in Judaism, a sacred text is never read, it's only chanted.
Mm-hmm.
And that was also true for me growing up. The texts were never just read, but chanted. And when you chant a text, it has a tonality and a feeling, an expression in your heart, as well as in your mind and what you're thinking about. And so that's part of the reason for my title.
Mm-hmm.
Heart and mind, because my concern is that in the last few centuries with the Gospels, we've been overusing the mind and underusing the heart, and
yeah.
It's time to balance the two.
And in the Catholic Church, we still have the most important parts, the most sacred parts of our Eucharistic celebration are chanted.
Yes, absolutely.
And you say that the Gospel story becomes a present moment account. In your work, it seems to me that you put your main focus on the gospel. Are you relying on the words or the story, the chanting, the meaning of the gospel readings?
I'm relying on what I call the melody mm-hmm. that undergirds the words. So
yes.
It's deeper than simply reading the words on a page.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is, let's just take one example of one gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Let's look at the gospel that we call Matthew. Mm-hmm. We believe our best scholarship locates this gospel as being revealed to the people in the great city of Antioch, mm-hmm. which is now in Turkey.
Yes.
In about early 70s of the first century. And what's just happened is the Jewish temple in Jerusalem has been annihilated. The Jewish priesthood has been ended by massacre. And the great city of Jerusalem has largely been destroyed, turned down. It's sitting up on that mountain, deserted in ruins. Mm-hmm. The Christian Jewish community of Antioch, which is the second largest Jewish community outside of Jerusalem mm-hmm. in those days, is shaken to its roots, and many people believe it's the apocalypse. They believe it's the end time. Mm-hmm. This text comes to the Christian community there and says to them, when darkness arrives, this is not the end time. It's mm-hmm. the beginning time. And the whole text of Matthew is this deep melody about when we enter a dark time, this is not a time to be fearful, although we can be, but this is a time that we expect a new presence and a wider wisdom of the Christ to live with us.
It's a sign of hope.
It's a sign of hope. It's a sign of pregnancy.
Yes.
And that's so much underneath the text, so that we can read this beautiful, true story of the history of Jesus. Mm-hmm. But the story is not told to confirm the history alone. It's told because you are living this history right now. Mm-hmm. So this is another way to understand the text, is rather than telling the people the story of Jesus back then, it's telling the story of back then right now.
Yes, and put it in the right context.
Right.
That you can understand it.
So Matthew opens with the story of Joseph.
Yes.
And why Joseph? Because Joseph's had his whole world turned to ashes. Just as each of us has a moment, whether it's small or dramatic, we have a moment in our lives that feels like we're in a change that's turned everything in our life to ash. And maybe it's a financial downturn, or maybe it's a difficulty with the spouse or with our children or work or whatever it is. But there comes a moment then that our life is shaken, and we're very much like Joseph. And just like Joseph, we need to know that God is right there in our hearts whispering hope and a way to move forward.
That's interesting that you mentioned that with the ashes in the beginning, because that reminds me of Lent. And I remember that in one of the homilies, Bishop said, Lent starts with ashes and it ends with a fire.
Yes.
It's the other way around that you would expect it. You would expect a fire and then afterwards the ashes.
Right.
But it starts with the ashes and ends with fire and life and joy.
Right. And the other thing that we know from nature and we forget about when in the rite of ash is one of the most fertile ingredients on the planet.
Mm-hmm. That's the volcanic regions.
Yes.
They are all very fertile.
And to be marked with ash is to be marked with the grace to grow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, and you will be talking about empowering the Christ within us. The title implements to me that you think that we may not give enough attention to the power within us, or how do you see that? Why do you call it power within us?
Because what I so much of my work is about bringing Jesus the Christ from history to now. And that word Christ predates Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we don't stop enough to remember that the Christ has always been. And Jesus is the full vessel of the Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But the Christ is a living reality in your heart right now. And that living reality in your heart right now is what will confirm the gospel text. We don't need to go back to archaeology. We don't need to mm-hmm. try to look for more DNA in Palestine. That these gospel texts are the living record of what Jesus will do in your life right now. And these four gospel texts will show you the map of how that happens.
Mm-hmm.
And just I mean, it's the most exciting thing in the world for me to know that we have the map. I still have to walk it, mm-hmm. but we have the map.
Yes, and we have the hope within us. And as we have Jesus within us, we have hope within us.
It, even more than hope, it's a knowing. We start with hope and we move to a knowing. Mm-hmm. And the knowing is beyond hope. Because with hope, always there's a sort of like an uncertainty.
Yeah.
But when we know,
yes,
wow.
Does that have to do anything with the five keys that you were mentioning when you said the Christ within us, and there are five keys? Can you tell us more about the five keys?
I mean, the five keys will be part of the talk on Friday night next week. So I'll just touch upon a couple of them.
Yes.
One is there are two forms of eyewitness in the gospel. There's Peter, who's an example of the historical ones who saw Jesus with their outer eyes.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's Paul. Paul never saw that Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Paul saw the Jesus that lives in every moment, inside and outside of time.
Mm-hmm.
It's Paul who changes the text from the way that we've been studying it of recent times. Paul says, I was there at Golgotha. I was there at the resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what we've lost of late, is that emphasis that Paul brings, that the importance of the gospel is not historical. Did it happen in history? Absolutely. But that's just where we start. What's important is that these experiences in the gospel happen right now, happen to every one of us, if we know how to open up the text and see beyond just the historical nature of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the first key, is that this is the gospel of now.
So you already mentioned that you are going to touch that deeper next week on Friday. And you are going to talk about the journey, the process, empowering, walking. It's all movement.
Yes, it's dynamic. It's today, and it's living, and it's dynamic. It's ongoing.
Is there also a goal where you're going, or is the goal the moving?
The goal is the moving.
Good.
God has the destination in mind. We don't need to.
Mm-hmm.
Our job is to move.
And how do you try to help people finding their own journey? And I know that you're going to talk about this on Friday, but can you give me some hint?
Well, the piece is we're already on the journey.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, can we know where we are on the journey, and can we appreciate it and live it with less anxiety and with more love and more forgiveness and more compassion and more reconciliation and more acts of justice?
Mm-hmm.
It's very much Pope Francis's message, or at least I hope it's very much Pope Francis's message of the living Jesus now, and here's the journey that you're already on.
It's not just hope, but it's also presence.
Yes.
Hope and presence.
Yes.
Thank you very much, Alexander, for the explanations. I'm looking forward to coming to your evening event next Friday, 13th of June, in our Mercy Spirituality Center. And if you'd like to come to his talk or his retreat in our center, please let us know and get in touch with us at the Mercy Spirituality Center in Epsom. Phone number is 09-638-6238. And if you want to listen to the interview again, please tune in and www.planetaudio.org.nz/muffintalk. The two events will be Empowering the Christ Within Us, next Friday, 13th of June, from 7 to 9 p.m. And the retreat, Walking the Four-Path Christ Journey, is from 8th to 9th of August. And please come and see and hear and experience what Alexander has to share with you. If you have any questions on these events or feedback on the Muffin Talks, please send me an email at muffintalk840@gmail.com. And I would like to draw your attention now to some other upcoming events in our Mercy Spirituality Center in Epsom. On Wednesday, 11th of June, this coming Wednesday, Jane Huggard will talk about the demystifying of the dying process. She gave an interview last Friday, and it's still available on www.planetaudio.org.nz. /muffin talk, and then you just have a look at the archive and you'll see her, you can hear her interview again. Jane works at the Mercy Hospice in Auckland and is an honorary professional teaching fellow in the School of Nursing at the University of Auckland. And on the 19th of June, Sister Anne Warren will talk about the life of Brother Roger of Thésée. Sister Anne will talk about this man who founded the Thésée community. This community has developed an amazing ministry through scripture, liturgy, and music. Come and listen to Sister Anne when she talks about the beginning of a great place of pilgrimage and of a man who inspired so many. That will be Thursday, 19th of June, from 10 a.m. to noon at our Mercy Spirituality Center in Epsom. And, of course, Friday 13th, Alexander Shire, Empowering Christ Within Us. You've just heard about him and about his journey and the way that he's going to share his experience and his readings and his knowing, not just hoping that Jesus is there, but knowing that Jesus is with us all the time, that he's always present with us. Alexander is the author of 3 books, including Heart and Mind, The 4 Gospel Journey for Radical Transformation. So please come along on Friday, 13th of June, in the evening from 7 to 9. And if you'd like to attend this workshop, please register by giving us a call at 09 for Auckland, 638-6238, or check out our website at www.mercyspiritualitycenter.org.nz. For any feedback on my interviews, please call me or send me an email at muffintalk840@gmail.com. And we'll be on air every Friday, 8:40 in the morning at Planet FM 104.6. Alexander, would you like to say some final words?
Just, I hope that people will join us on Friday and again in August.
Yes.
I've spoken at last record 18 Christian denominations and traditions around the world.
Oh.
This is a wide message for everyone. Please come and hear the gospel as you've never known, but your heart has always known.
Thank you very much, Alexander, and wish you all the best. Thank you.
Thank you.